Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The only thing I want to experience is winning a gold medal.
Sitting on the slopes of potential history.
We hit up to 6G forces.
Well, the one thing you can count on is absolutely nothing.
If you can't race yourself, you can't race anybody else.
An all-out fight to the finish.
There's no such thing as can't.
Pushing it till the end, and he's got another gold medal.
Some Olympic events seem crazy, like the skeleton. Some seem like lots of fun, like the luge. And some seem like just pure magic.
It takes nerves now. Looks very good. Looks very high. Beautiful jump for Jessica Jerome.
That ski jumper, Jessica Jerome, courtesy of NBC. And this year, for the first time ever in the Winter Olympics, women are competing in the ski jump. The first medal round for women jumpers is today. Ski jumping is one of the sports that combines gravity with the sheer speed of the near frictionless snow surface, with the added challenge of mastering the aerodynamics of a body on skis or a snowboard flying through the air to land gracefully in front of a panel of judges who know more about the sport than to just say, awesome, how did you do that? Of course, we can ask that question. Today, our series, How Do They Do That?, explores the physics of these part-speeding, part-gliding winter sports. Eric Goff is the chair of the physics department at Lynchburg College and author of Gold Medal Physics, The Science of Sports. Goff says it's Newton's unforgiving laws that rule on the jumps and the freestyle moguls.
The ski jump and everything else that we could talk about, whether it's skiing or bobsled or luge or skeleton, they all rely on the idea that you got to get your mass up to a certain height. So you're going to convert all this gravitational potential energy that's stored when you get up there into energy of motion, what we call kinetic energy, when you're flying down the hill. And much like a skater, they will get into a position with their head down. You'll see their arms trailing behind them. They're going to reduce their drag as much as they can. And they'll fly down the hill, and about 3/10 of a second, they're going to have this little bowl that they're going to be propelling themselves upward. And what they have to do is get their body into a position, the famous V position, the V style of ski jumping. And you'll see the skis, once they get into the air, the athlete, it's almost like a glider. The skis are going to be very close together, overlapping at the very back of the athlete, and they're going to open up in about a 25 to 30 degree angle. And they're unbelievably flexible. It takes not only an enormous amount of strength and core strength, but enormous amount of flexibility, because they'll get down into about a 7 to 10 degree angle with those skis. They are leaned way over. And they're trying to minimize the air drag, but they're trying to maximize the lift. This is even seen in birds. Evolution's gotten some of the birds to spread their wings apart, so you'll see little gaps in their wings to help them fly. Well, these gaps in the skis are doing the same thing, and they will fly like a glider.
But enough of the physics. What does it take to really do freestyle skiing, where you're airborne and on the ground, often in the same second? Mick Barry, freestyle skiing coach for Park City Freestyle in Park City, Utah. Which is it? Are you on the ground or are you in the air if you're freestyle skiing, Mick?
Well, it's a little bit of both. To be able to get into the air, you have to get there by the ground first.
And so physics has very little to do with the qualities that the judges are looking for. And style comes from, I guess, everything from fashion to the awesomeness of the jump.
Exactly. Every single one of these athletes has his own style, his own way to perform a trick or a maneuver. These kids are taking risks every single run, and it's making it looking fluid and comfortable that really wows those judges.
How do you come up with some of this stuff? I mean, a lot of the stuff we see in freestyle, you love the end product because it's so beautiful and graceful and seemingly effortless, especially in the medal rounds. But you also have to wonder, now, what did that look like the first time he or she tried it?
Well, that's kind of the exciting thing about our sport is all of our sports, half pipe, slopestyle, moguls, aerials, is athlete driven, meaning these athletes at a younger age are coming up with these crazy ideas and trying it. And it takes a couple of athletes getting together, really realizing this is the direction that we want to take our sport. Sometimes it's really hard for the judges to keep up with the sport because it evolves so fast. If you look into slopestyle right now at the Olympics, we're going to see people winning that are doing triple maneuvers, meaning triple corks, flipping over three times, where last year they were barely just starting to do doubles. But there will be a teetering point where there's too much air. The body can't take that type of a shock landing.
And when you change your body shape in the course of a freestyle event, what happens? Because you're a very different object in space if you're balled up in a fetal position versus fully extended.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's kind of the art of our sport, is being able to control your body. Like if you bring your arms in on a spin, you're going to speed up. If you open your arms back out, you're going to slow down. So that's a way that a lot of these athletes control their spins. Also, when they have a big solid takeoff and then they go towards a grab by grabbing their skis, getting into that ball shape, that'll also speed them up and help them control that trick.
Now, I know that you're mostly involved in freestyle coaching, but it's historic in this Olympics that the women are allowed to be a part of the, you know, ski jumping competition for the very, very first time. What do you think that does to the sport? How do you think it'll be different? Is there anything about women's style that, or women's even, you know, body types that might favor a different kind of performance?
You know, with ski jumping, as far as I'm concerned, the Olympics, it's all about equality across the board. So the fact that the women finally get to compete their sport at the Olympics is exactly how it should have been a long time ago.
And who are you rooting for in Sochi?
I really want to root for, like, the local kids from Park City. So in slopestyle, Josh Christensen, I really hope he does well. He got that last spot, and he's real exciting, good, humble kid. He's amazing. As far as moguls go, Brad Wilson and Pat Dineen, I would love to see them do well. Those Canadians are just beating us up all year long in that mogul event. For halfpipe, David Wise, he is just a class act. So there's some really, really great athletes out there. Some of these girl athletes, Angelie Van Lalen, she is just an amazing woman who looks after everybody and is friends with everybody. She's coached by a great guy named Luke Allen. Everybody calls him Ocho. Another girl that I'd really like to see do well in halfpipe is Britta Sigourney. So those are the ones I'm definitely rooting for.
McBerry, thanks so much.
John, thank you so much.
McBerry's freestyle skiing coach for Park City Freestyle in Park City, Utah.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com.